Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast. This is Jamie Russo. I own a coworking space in Palo Alto, California. I am the executive director of the Global Workspace Association and the founder of Everything Coworking. This episode is brought to you by my program, the Coworking Startup School. I've been talking about this for a few weeks now, but I am almost done wrapping up some updates to the format of the program to make it even more comprehensive and accessible. And this is based on the flight group programs that I've been running for about a year and a half now, and the dozens of folks that have been through the Coworking Startup School already. So the new version is an updated version based on my learnings, and it's based on the Coworking Space Validation System. There are 12 steps in the validation system that get you set up for success when you open your space. In addition to the framework, the course covers marketing, hiring, and the coworking tech stack. You can get a full outline of the course at www.coworkingstartupschool.com. So today, we are going to dive into demystifying Google Ads for coworking spaces with Kevin Whalen. So Kevin is a marketing consultant. I was introduced to him through Kane Wilmot, who is the president of the Global Workspace Association and co-founder of IQ Office Suites in Toronto and Vancouver, Canada. And Kane works with Kevin is basically an outsourced CMO. I will link up in the show notes to Kevin's contact info, his website, and you can see all the services that he offers. But we started working with him, we being the GWA, because we are updating our website and doing some strategic marketing work for 2019. The GWA, by the way, is the Professional Association for Coworking Space Operators and anybody else in the industry. So make sure you check that out if you're new and you're not a member yet, globalworkspace.org. So Kevin has both a strategic mindset for marketing and he also knows how to get stuff done, which is exactly my favorite kind of person. A little bit of both. So we were trying to decide what to cover today. And I said, you know, I think Google Ads is really critical. Digital marketing is critical for local businesses, and it can be hard for new operators to understand. So let's talk about all things Google Ads. So today we're going to cover, should you use Google Ads for your business? Benefits to using Google Ads versus other forms of marketing like Facebook marketing, an overview on Google Ads and how they work, how to create a budget for your ad spend, why you need to hire Google Ads specialists and not do it yourself, how to optimize your website for conversions, and how to measure your results and track your return on investment. So let's get ready and dive in. And again, I'll put lots of notes in the show notes in case you're driving and can't take notes. Don't get stressed out. It's okay. You can also always listen to it twice. Okay, here we go. Super excited to be joined by Kevin Whalen today. We are going to talk about digital marketing. He and I were trying to figure out what to focus on here because there's a big world of mysterious components of digital marketing that relate to launching and growing a co-working space. So we'll get Kevin introduced here so that he can interject and correct my lingo. So I was introduced to Kevin by Kane Wilmot, who is the CEO and co-founder of IQ Office Suites in Toronto and now Vancouver. They have 5 locations open, and he is also the president of the Global Workspace Association. So I talk to Kane a lot once a week. Super. Kevin and I were just talking about how amazing it is that he's so committed to the association when he has so much going on in his own business. So I'll let Kevin talk about his role with IQ Office Suites. But I had on one of my calls with Kane said, you know, the GWA, we need some strategic marketing support, you know, sort of brainstorming around where do we find that? And he's like, oh, I got a guy for you. And so he introduced me to Kevin, and Kevin has been really engaged with the co-working industry over the last couple of years, learning a lot about how it works and understanding kind of what marketing kind of drives success in co-working and working with Kane. And so I asked him if he would come on the podcast and share some insights with you guys. So Kevin, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Yeah. So Kevin is in Toronto. Kevin, is it snowing there yet?
No, but it's due any day now.
It is only 63 here. It's supposed to be 73 today. I still can't get used to how nice it is in the fall here. I kind of miss the cooler weather. But
we've got a very short fall and then it goes right into winter for a long time.
Straight into it. Yeah. So Kevin, tell us before we kind of dive into our marketing insights here, tell us about you and your background and your work that you've been doing in the co-working industry.
Yeah, well, I'm a marketing consultant. I do kind of CMO as a service for a few different clients. And yeah, I've been working in digital marketing for a long time. As I were mentioning before this phone call, I've been building websites for about 15 years, eventually kind of transitioned over into digital marketing and branching out from the web design world. And yeah, over the last 4 years, you know, I've worked with IQ Office Suites in various capacities. I currently work with them as their kind of contract CMO. And so I manage their marketing. CMO as a chief marketing officer. And so I manage their marketing and I work with very closely with Kane to help them expand. So we've gone from one location in 2012 now to 5 locations, and we've got plans, you know, 20 by 2020 is what Kane always says, reach 20 locations in the next couple of years. So we're in high growth mode. So the last 4 years has just been, you know, learning about the ins and outs, the nuances and who the players are in the co-working market, and really just applying the digital marketing skills that I've developed and going deep with IQ and the industry. So that's kind of where I am today.
Awesome. And I love, so a lot of folks who own co-working spaces, we wear a marketing hat, or we need to outsource marketing and we either need to pull in expertise from a lot of different kind of marketing functions, or we need to wear a lot of those hats ourselves. And so Kevin kind of does a little bit of everything. And so I thought he has a lot of good insights to share and understand what it looks like to kind of pull a team together when you don't have a ton of resources. So today we're going to focus on digital marketing. And I asked Kevin just to kind of start with, you know, sort of why digital marketing for local businesses? Because I think some folks who are just getting into the business and don't know anything about how to market a local space don't have any experience in digital marketing and may not be thinking of that as kind of a core part of their marketing strategy. So Kevin, tell us why.
So digital marketing is a big field. You know, it used to be kind of all traditional marketing and, you know, for your billboards and your print ads and all that kind of stuff. And the way it works today is, you know, digital marketing is table stakes. So when you're operating any kind of a business, you want to be not only in all the places that people would expect to find you in the offline world when people are looking for your space or your business, but with digital marketing, that's the first place people are looking for when they're considering finding a place to work. So I always say you want to kind of try to be everywhere as much as you can. And that doesn't mean you need to spend a ton of money or try to, you know, spin your wheels in 100 different places. But when someone is looking for you, they're going to go onto Google. And when they go onto Google, you want them to find you. And the places that they can find you, number one, and this will be the main part of our conversation today, is Google Ads. And that's there at the very top of search results. And people do click them. I can tell you from experience, you know, you may think you skim past them, but when you're looking to buy something, you often do click on the ads because they're relevant and they're right there at the top. And then all those other things. I know you are really big on the Google My Business, which is a free thing that you can do. And I think it's, if you only did one thing aside from having a website, you need to have Google My Business extremely well optimized. And then the other places, you know, getting your website ranked in Google and, you know, as much as you can, which is sometimes easy and sometimes hard, depending on the size of your market. And then there's other things like top lists and local directories and all that kind of stuff that would naturally show up in a search, you know, Yelp, for example, and trying to be in all those different places. So that's where people start to go. So in today's world, unless I know someone who works at a co-working space and I ask them what their recommendation or experience is, I start on Google. And that's the reason digital marketing is so important, because a lot of people just don't know someone. A lot of people do, and that's great. And you can build your referral business. And you should do all those offline things. But digital marketing is going to capture about 80% of people looking for people for a space to work who don't know otherwise. So that'd be the main reason.
Yeah. And I talk about this a lot, so I won't spend too much time on it, but people think a lot about kind of events and, you know, networking and doing those sort of, you know, more analog things to get people into the space. And I always say, like, that can totally be a strategy over time, but you want to capture the people who are actively searching, and those people are actively searching on Google. So I think one of the challenges about Google Ads in particular is, if you don't have experience with it, it seems intimidating and mysterious and, you know, easy to screw up. So I'd love to kind of have you talk through using Google Ads and sort of, you know, how does it work? How do I think about a budget? If I'm going to hire somebody, should I do it, even think about doing it myself? If I'm going to hire somebody, you know, I sort of, how do I think through that? Where do I look? How does that fit into, you know, my sales funnel in terms of getting my website ready for that traffic and that kind of thing? So I'll just kind of let you dive in and I'll interrupt with any clarifying questions that I have along the way.
It sounds great. Well, first and foremost, you know, I've been doing digital marketing a long time and I'm good enough to be dangerous with Google Ads, which so I know enough not to do it myself. So even though I've gone through all the courses and I've managed my own campaigns and had varying degrees of success, it's hard and it's always changing. So the first thing I'll say is don't do it yourself unless you want to tinker, unless you want to, you know, it's like the stock market. You can go in and invest your own money, but it's kind of buyer beware. And it, but unlike the stock market, the world is always changing with Google Ads. For example, it was AdWords not more than a couple of weeks ago, and now it's Google Ads. And that's just one of a thousand examples of the way it's constantly evolving. So number one is find a good place, good kind of agency to work with. Try to avoid the Upworks unless they come highly recommended or, you know, very well, because it's just, you don't know what you're getting. It's very, very technical. You can build out an ad campaign. The right way to do it is to really have great structure and have campaigns. And within campaigns, there's groups. And within those groups, there's keywords and there's targeting. And I won't get too far into the details, but suffice it to say, there's a lot of them, a lot of little levers to pull. So you want to find a reputable agency. Ideally, you can get someone who's got good experience in local advertising, but just in general, you know, interview them and see what results they've gotten for their clients. The way it works is typically there's a setup fee. So they'll ask you about your business, figure out what services you're offering, where your local market is, how far, you know, we want to advertise. And then they'll set up a campaign for you based around those services, those keywords. They'll do a bunch of research for you. And there's a bit of a setup fee for that. And it's quite a big process. And they'll show you things like, what is the ad copy? What are the words that are going to appear on the ads? What are the keywords we're going to be targeting? How are we going to be doing that? And they should be able to answer all of your questions. And I'll try to give you a little more information as we go through this without kind of overwhelming you. And so there's a setup fee. And then the way it works after that is once that's done, there's a, it's basically an ongoing monthly fee. So as much as you want to advertise, you can advertise zero, or you can advertise, you know, as much as you're willing to spend up until the point where, you know, you've exceeded the demand. And the way that typically works is there's usually a fixed management fee up to a certain spend, or, and it works a little differently with everyone, or you pay a, you know, a 15% or 10% management fee of your total spend if it exceeds a certain amount. So there's kind of a minimum stake that they want, you know, to manage your account. You want to spend that money because you want people paying attention to it. So the first couple of months they run your ads, you know, they've made their best guesses. They start looking at the results and we'll get into how they do that. And then they optimize. So they start saying, okay, which of these ads are getting the best performance? And then they start spending your money. You know, this is these levers I was talking about, allocating it in ways that are going to get the best results for you. And then after a few months, you've kind of had a mature account, but you're going to be paying those management fees along the way. So that's kind of
so it can take time. So when somebody's thinking about this, it's A, the process of finding the right person, B, getting set up, and then C, giving it time to start working and sort of optimizing and understanding.
And that's a big part. You know, a lot of people think that, oh, it didn't work on month one. Well, how, you know, first of all, sales cycles are often longer than 1 month. So you never want to look on a month by month basis. You want to look in quarters or longer retrospectively. And then also the accounts get better and better over time. You get a little more sophisticated. Your targeting gets a little more honed in. You know what works, you know what doesn't. So it does take a little while, and you do need to spend, you know, I always say a minimum of $1,000 per month is where I recommend. You can spend less, but it'll just take you longer to learn, longer to optimize your account. So you do want to be willing to spend a little bit of money on your ads as well.
And that can vary by market. Is that right? I remember, looking at spend when I was in Chicago, and there were some players that were just spending a lot of money on the co-working keyword, which was really challenging. But we get away with a pretty reasonable monthly spend. I think we spend $500 a month. We've been doing this for years now, 5 years now. So that may be partly because we've sort of learned, and we'll, you know, tick that number up if we're trying to get more click, you know, more eyeballs if we have more open seats to sell. But I think we just, because we're a smaller market, we, you know, we're not competing with WeWork or Regis or, well, we're probably competing with Regis, but just probably less competition for the keywords where we are in Palo Alto is my guess.
Yeah. In the bigger markets, it is an auction. So, you know, it used to be 10 years ago when whatever, however long ago it was when Google Ads came out, it was very inexpensive. You could spend just a few pennies. But now, you know, with more and more players coming to the market, especially if you're in a big city like Chicago or Toronto or what have you, you're going to be spending top dollar. It's still profitable. And you don't need to necessarily do it as much if you're in a rural or a small town. Chances are you're showing up organically.
First anyway, right.
So many factors, but yeah.
Yep. And in terms of thinking about, not to jump ahead, but when you said, you know, it's still profitable, can you just kind of walk through a framework of how to think about, you know, sort of cost of customer acquisition? And because the numbers, I think if you've not done, so, well, hopefully you have a marketing budget because you need one to run a local business. And then hopefully you're prepared to do some digital marketing, but the sort of the cost per click, you know, those dollar amounts might have some shock value to them. And you might start thinking, well, those are too big. How do I think through like what the ROI is for the ad spend?
There's no perfect science, but there are some general kind of rules of thumb. With IQ Office Suites, for example, you know, we have a lot of private offices and we do work with brokers to fill some of those spaces. So we know that, for example, we're willing to spend 10% of an annual membership thereabouts, you know, sometimes more or less, to acquire one new customer. So that, or one new member. So that would be your acquisition cost, is how much are you willing to spend, or your allowable acquisition cost? How much are you willing to spend to acquire one new member? Now, the only way you know that is if you know your approximate lifetime value. Now, if you're in a new co-working space, you won't know yet what your lifetime value of a new member will be, but you can make an estimate. And, you know, it ranges from, you know, 8 months to a year to 2 years and possibly longer. The industry is pretty new, so we don't have all of that data. So when you know how much a member is worth over a long period of time, and you know roughly what your profitability is on that, well, you know what your allowable acquisition cost is. If you're willing to spend 10% of an annual fee for a member, you know, because you know they stay approximately that long and you're still profitable, then you do that to get them in the door. You aim for much lower and can do that with significantly less spend. But that would be kind of a benchmark. And the other thing I'll mention is that, you know, if you're opening a brand new space and you don't have a search engine presence and your Google My Business isn't showing up very high, you're kind of somewhere near the bottom still, you know, there is an opportunity cost to not advertising. So I think what you want to do, you know, you've got your fixed costs, they're high, especially if you've got a high square footage. You know, by every month you're not spending money to advertise, it may seem like, oh my goodness, our fixed costs are already these and now we're adding X thousand dollars to do these ads. Well, by not advertising, it might take you two or three times as long to fill a space, right? Yeah. And then what is the opportunity cost there? And the numbers vary dramatically. But ideally, you're seeing an ROI, you know, after 3 or 6 months, you look backwards, especially in a new location where you can see these are all coming from Google Ads because we don't have any other presence. Then you can say, okay, what's our revenue and how much have we spent? And is this in line? And are we seeing these conversions? And well, we can talk more about the conversions in terms of tours and stuff. And you just try to track it as best as you can. But revenue is a great metric, as well as your customer lifetime value and working it out from there.
Perfect. Yeah. I mean, I love, to your point, it's not an exact science, but even thinking about the opportunity cost, not just like what would it cost me through another channel to sell this space or this membership, but right, what if I do nothing? What if I don't spend? And then these spaces sit open for months, you know, what is that dollar amount? So I think that's important.
Mm-hmm. I've seen several examples where we've spent money and within, you know, month one, our revenue was two or three times as much as our cost. And month two, now that first month's revenue. So I've seen ROI positive months in the first month or two, usually second or third months.
Yep.
So it can be that distinct and that clear. But yeah, it's, you know, the benefit of Google Ads is that you're going where people are looking with buying intent. And that's the thing. So as long as you're targeting well, and we can talk about that, you're going to get right in front of people who are ready to buy, as opposed to Facebook ads, which can work extremely well depending on your industry or your market, which are more passive. So if you're on Facebook, you're not necessarily seeking in a co-working space. And so anyway, those numbers can be very quick, although it could take a lot longer and it really depends on the individual situation.
Perfect. What should we dive into next?
Well, so I think there's a few things we can do. You know, maybe, you know, your audience, I don't want to kind of overwhelm with details on how this stuff works, but I do want to kind of give you some insights into what are these levers and how should we focus on, like, how do we build out a campaign and what are the components? So I'll kind of give you a brief overview.
I think that's helpful because I even think, like, if you're going to interview to try to find a specialist to help, I think, you know, you even said, you know, you're sort of know enough to be dangerous. I think it's good to be educated enough to know some of the questions to ask and sort of have a picture of how this works in the background so that you're not totally clueless and you kind of have a good foundation to start from. So yeah, I agree. Don't totally nerd out, but feel free to share kind of a framework for what you think would be helpful.
Yeah. So the way I'll kind of explain where these ads show up, because that's really important. Yeah. And then we'll kind of talk about maybe how they're structured and how you target them. There's a few different kinds of ads. Number one is search. So in search results, when I go on Google and I say co-working space, Palo Alto, that is, and then I see the search results on the page. Those are the search ads. That's right in Google's search results page. So those would be the first ones. They do also show up in Google Maps. So you'll notice that when you do a search like that, a local search, so, you know, co-working Toronto, for example, you'll see there's usually an ad. It's usually, you know, either us or it's someone, it's WeWork or it's one of these companies or your space. Those Google Maps ads are extremely important as well. So they're, as long as you've got a Google My Business page and you attach it and you associate it with your account and it's well optimized and it's relevant and it's categorized properly in a, You know, you filled it out properly, your ads are going to appear in Google Maps. And a lot of times people do search. They go to Google Maps, they type in Coworking Toronto, and then they look on a map and say, okay, where do I want to work? So with Google Maps, they're considered search maps, search ads, but that's a really important place to remember. Another one is partner websites. So Google has several hundred million websites that are monetized by Google Ads, right? So if you have, you know, a website and you want to put Google Ads on there, you've probably seen them several times. Your ads can show up in those places. Now, it also includes companies like Yelp. So Yelp has their own ads, and you know, I don't necessarily recommend advertising there, but it may work for you. But they also have Google Ads. So if you go onto a Yelp page and you type in coworking space, you know, wherever, you're going to see some Google Ads in the sidebar. So by advertising on Google, and sometimes those Yelp pages rank well, you're now kind of showing up in Yelp, for example, as well. And that's just one of several examples of Google, this kind of partner network. The other thing you can do is something called retargeting, or display ads. So the way that works is when visitors come to your website, you can now take basically a little graphic and you design them in about 8 to 10 different kind of sizes and have it display on all these websites. So, you know, the New York Times and several other major news publications, for example, are monetized by Google Ads. So it's very possible for someone to land on your website and then go away and go onto, you know, the New York Times website. And I have to double check that New York Times has it, but several other examples, and your ads will appear there as if you're just kind of advertising on that site. So it can really stand out that way as well. You can also retarget on, you know, LinkedIn and Facebook, but that's kind of out of the scope of this conversation. But suffice it to say that when you bring people to your website, if you've got the cookie installed on your website, the tracking cookie, then your ads can go across the Google display network with your visual ads, and they can look really cool as well. So those are the big ones. There's also YouTube, for example. You've got a really good video. You can retarget or target people on YouTube with video ads, and that can just be really compelling. So either their search interest or something about them indicates that they'd be interested in your services, and therefore your ads show based on your targeting, or they've been to your website before. Now they're on Google. Now they're seeing your video, and sometimes people skip past it, but sometimes they don't, you know, if they're still making that buying decision. So those are the big places that they show up. And I'll pause there to see if there's any kind of questions around that, because I know we covered a lot.
Yeah, I think it's helpful. And I hadn't thought about the YouTube example, which I think could be somewhat compelling, because I think our industry, you know, has some good opportunities for some good visual content of the space, of people in the space, interviews with members, that kind of thing. Trying to think, I think the Yard in New York does Facebook ads that are, or maybe Instagram ads that are videos of members, and they're having some kind of quirky conversation, but you just get a real feel of like sort of their culture, and it's really fun. And I've watched them, you know, just because I think it's interesting content. So that was a good example that I hadn't really thought of in terms of Google and YouTube.
Yeah. I mean, we were very visual people. And when you're still making that buying decision, when you show them a very compelling video, it kind of warms them to your brand. And especially for the coworking, where you're dealing with freelancers and small teams, where that emotional connection to the space is really important. And you can do the same thing on Instagram. You can do the same thing on Facebook. And so to the whole world, but those aren't the Google Ad Network. Those are similar concepts just applied to different platforms. So those are the places that they show up. The other thing we can talk about is how to target people, because that's going to be kind of an important part. Actually, before we get into targeting, we can talk about how they're structured. So there's the way an ad campaign is built is that you basically break it down by campaign. So you might have campaigns split up into different services, for example. So you've got your private office services, your co-working, maybe your dedicated desks, your virtual offices, meeting rooms, event space, and or you can kind of make a combination of those plus locations. So if you're in different cities, you may want to have the cities be the high level kind of campaign. So they hold your different ad groups inside of it within your campaigns. So you can have a few of those, and your ad specialist will be able to give you an Excel spreadsheet to show you how all this works. Within those, you've got ad groups. So ad groups would then have a breakdown of how you're targeting. So, you know, if you have private office, well, people are looking up, you know, private office for rent. They're looking up shared office. They're looking up, you know, I don't know, office space, your city, for example. So there's variations of that. And typically we put in very specific keywords into those groups. Within those groups, now you have keywords, and you know, we recommend breaking it up. We won't get too far into the weeds here, but within these groups, there's keywords, and you can get very specific with the kinds of keywords you want to trigger your ads. So if someone were to type in, you know, if I typed in coworking, maybe you don't want your ads to show up for that, because there's no buying intent, because they're not looking up coworking in Palo Alto, for example. So we can get either very specific, or you can get kind of broad, or you can get a combination of both. And there's different strategies around that, and your ads team would work with you to do that. I recommend trying to be, you know, in the beginning, a little bit broad, see what works, and then kind of get very specific and really cherry pick the best keywords that you can. But again, you know, we don't want to get too far into the weeds here. So that's roughly how the account is structured. And then within that, this is where the levers come into play. So you've got this structure, you know, you've broken it down into an organizable kind of fashion. And now there's a number of ways you can target. So we've talked about keywords. So the keywords that people use to show up are really important. That's the main kind of factor. The other thing you can think about is geography. So if someone is looking up, you know, co-working space near me, but they're located in New York, you don't want to show your ads if you are, you know, if you've got a space in Chicago, you want to kind of have that location. So what you can do is basically say anyone who's looking up co-working or office space related keywords and they're within the greater, you know, serviceable area, then we'll show their ads. Or if you've got enough of a budget, you can say if they're searching from other cities and we think they're looking for co-working space in the city, mm-hmm. we'll show up with our ads yep. as well. So, and that's where.
And that's basically because you don't want to use your ad budget to serve ads to people who are probably not in your target demographic, basically.
Yeah, you want to fish at your feet first, as they say. You want to start with people yep. who are most likely to convert, unless you've got an unlimited budget, in which case you can go really wide, but you're going to spend a lot to get those.
And even so, I mean, to your point, unless you really think there are people looking and high volumes of people looking for co-working space that are in another market, or if you, yeah, right, even if you have a network of spaces, you still want to be local.
Yeah, very local center. I try to really tie in that locality as much as we can. Yeah. So when you have those keywords and you kind of had your geography, another thing you can do is you can basically say, I want to spend as much money as possible so that my ads appear at the top of the search results. So right at the very top of the three or so ads that you see there, you end up spending a little bit more, but you can tell Google to basically bid so that your ads are number one. There's kind of a depreciating returns the lower down you go. You do yep. spend less, so that's a factor. And it really depends on your budget. So this isn't for everyone, but if you're competitive and you need to fill that space, you want your ads to appear number one. And then Google will tell you like how the average placement is on a scale of, you know, whatever the numbers are, five or something. It'll, you know, it's usually 1 point something. So that on average, you appear 1 point, you know, two in the list of ads, for example, so that you're usually in number one, for example. So there is placement. You can bid according to that. You can also bid on competitor keywords. So one of the things you can consider is, you know, if
drives me nuts.
Yeah. Well,
but yeah, we should talk about that.
Basically, you can, when someone is looking up, say, WeWork in Palo Alto or WeWork in Chicago, I'm just going to pick these same cities over and over again. You can make your ads appear, but you can't put their name into your ad copy. Okay. So that's the text that appears on your ads. So there's copyright reasons for that, but you're allowed to have your ads show up when people do search for it. And then you just track, you see how the conversions work, see if it's very relevant for the people that are searching for that. So if you've got big competitors in your space, it's a great way to kind of get in front of people who would otherwise be looking for one of your competitors because it's the only one they know.
And right. Which could be a good strategy, especially if you're newer and you're not showing up in the organic search results very high to be in that consideration set. Because I think a lot of us think, you know, WeWork comes to town, sort of good news, because they're going to do tons of marketing and they're going to drive awareness. And, you know, usually people aren't going to only go to where WeWork. So they're going to do a quick search and say, oh, this is interesting. Well, what else is in the market that I should look at? You know, I'll do a couple of tours while I'm out. So if you are far enough down in the organic search results that you're not going to show up in that consideration set, then yeah, seems like a good example of where you might want to spend some ad money to make sure you're showing up when WeWork is showing up. So you get on that tour list as well.
Yeah. And that's the other thing is that there typically is a little bit less people spending money on those keywords. So you end up spending a little bit less per click. You can also do it for your own brand name to protect, to make sure you show up when people are searching for you.
Okay. Now,
there is a side benefit to that as well. So Google has something called a quality score. So the whole point of Google is when you go to Google, all Google wants is to show you the most relevant content so that you keep coming back. So you always get good information when you're looking for it. So the more relevant your ads are, the less you're actually going to spend in order for them to show. So the way that works is how you're targeting. So if you go too broad and now you're targeting people that are coming to your website and just leaving and no one's converting or no one's clicking on them, which is even worse, that can lower what's called your quality score. And then you end up spending a little bit more kind of in the budget. So you want to be specific, but yeah. So, I mean, that's one way. So when you have your own keyword, when your own brand name shows up in an ad, people are more likely to click on it. And you might be saying, why am I spending money for people who are coming to my website? They're looking for us anyway. Well, the benefit is that that has a higher average kind of click-through rate, which can increase your quality score. And this is algorithmic. So I don't pretend like I know all of the way Google equates all of this, but that is one thing you can consider as well. And it kind of helps your whole account appear more relevant to Google.
So without diving too much into a rabbit hole, do we want to talk a little bit about kind of how to prepare your website to manage the, so if you're doing Google AdWords and they're working and you're getting people to your website to consider booking a tour, are there any kind of high level points you want to talk about related to the website?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We can make this a whole nother episode, by the way. So yeah. Kevin and I had a hard time, like, you know, narrowing down the, what do we want to cover today? And what do we, you know, want to kind of parse it out so we don't make anybody too crazy and make it digestible. But I think it's worth mentioning sort of the next step from the ad.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a crucial part. So you shouldn't even be advertising until you've got your website in a good place to receive the traffic. Because what's going to happen is people come to your website. If it's not well optimized, they're just going to leave. So there's a few things you can do. There's the obvious stuff. So number one is, you know, if you're advertising a specific location, send them right to that location page as much as you can and give them as much information as you can so that they can make a decision to take a step forward. Now, a few things you want to consider is, one, the website, this page speed should be fast. So you don't want to overload it with very heavy images. You want to make sure you've got a good hosting account. Because if it takes a long time to load, which is more than 5 seconds or so, people are just going to leave and you're going to waste that money on your ad spend. But if you, in terms of actual, so you do want good content, you want good images, you know, to really sell the space on how it looks, which is a really big factor that people take into consideration. You want to break out your key features and benefits into sort of chunks so they can say, okay, well, there's, how big is the space? How many, you know, phone booths do they have so I can make my phone calls? Or, you know, what are these benefits that they have? So really break it out, because people are pretty much skimming your content. So have good subheadings and really organize your page in a way that makes it easy to skim. In terms of actual conversions, though, you want to have a few things. You want to make it super easy to, for people to know what step you want them to take, which is, in many cases, it's to book a tour. Many people won't sign up without having seen the space in real life first. Or, for example, it might be to book a, you know, a 1 week free trial or a 1 day free trial, depending on your system. But make that button everywhere and make it very, very consistent and make it distinctly colored so it pops out. The other thing you want to have is a chat widget. I know you've mentioned this before in some of your podcasts, and, you know, in our experience, you know, anyone that I'm working with that's doing advertising, if you have a chat widget and if you can manage it, you can get, for example, we use Drift. And if you can get that app on your phone so that it pings you, so you're not kind of tied to your computer, if you're doing a tour, you know, or whatever else, you know, you get that message right away and you can be timely, like, you can have a huge benefit in terms of how many people are more likely to reach out who would otherwise maybe have questions and sit on it. So you'll get a lot of people saying, well, what's the minimum spend? And then maybe you put that information on your website, or you say, do you have any offices in a corner office overlooking the mountains or something? And then you're like, okay, yeah, we do. And then another benefit of that is, right after it sends a message, so it pops up and says, hey, you know, we're here if you need us. When someone leaves a message, you can track that in Google Analytics. Mm-hmm. You can, and then it also says, hey, in case we get disconnected, leave your email. And basically, people very frequently leave their email unless they're really unsure whether they want to take a next step. So often you can capture that email and get to it, you know, in case you miss it, for example, and get their question answered right away. So a chat widget is really good. Some really clear call to action. When you do have a book a tour call to action, make it a schedulable one so that people can actually schedule one using tools like Schedule Once
or
Calendly.
Not just a form.
Not a form.
No email tag.
No, that's right. Yes. And it's super important because people, you know, you've only got a minute to capture them. You want to give them as much, make it as easy as possible for them to sign up with you. Do have a very clear place to contact you. So a telephone number and a contact link so they can fill out a form if they got more detailed questions. Maybe they're not ready to book a tour and it's too big a conversation for a chat, and have a contact, but that should be a secondary, you know, kind of a place, like in your navigation, for example. And of course, if there's a way for people to sign up, you want to have that be visible as well. But that's usually when you're doing cold traffic through ads, they're not ready to sign up. You have to kind of get to know them a bit. So those would be the main pieces for your conversions.
And just a clarifying question, when I am working with my Google Ads specialists, are they going to give me any tips about my website, or does their scope kind of end with getting people to the site?
Good ad specialists will tell you exactly what's wrong with your website. And there's a lot of factors in this. It's conversion rate optimization, and their job is to help you do that so that they keep having a job. Things like keeping your call to actions above the fold. So we keep a call to action. I recommend keeping a call to action in your header navigation, as well as, you know, having that chat widget that's ever present, as well as having those buttons sprinkled down the page at various points that you think they may be willing to contact you. And then having your phone number in place. So don't make me scroll too far to find out where I can take that next step. Make it everywhere and make it really clear and distinct, and all roads should lead to Rome. And then, of course, the other side of that is tracking it and measuring. So I can jump in. Why don't I jump into that? Yeah, these conversion points are super important. So those are the ways to kind of high level, you know, you want a fast site, really easy conversion points, have that chat widget, have those phone numbers visible and present. There's actually, before I jump into the tracking of the analytics, actually, it's probably in the same vein. There are tools that you can use to track your phone calls that you get from Google Ads, for example. So it'll replace your phone numbers on the website with a tracking phone number, either a toll-free or a local number. You can use tools like Call Tracking Metrics, or one that we use is CallRail. And what that does is it allows you to see exactly how many calls you can listen to them, see how many of them were missed. So I know one of your points is you answer those phone calls. Well, if you're spending money on ads and someone clicks and they want to talk to you, you better be answering that phone. So you can tell how many times have you missed those calls, but then also follow up with them because it gives you a list. And if you're doing training for new staff, for example, you can listen in on those sales calls and make sure that first touch point was good. And, you know, so there are some factors like that. So those in CallRail, you can track the number of calls, and that's one version of a conversion. Just so everyone knows, a conversion is basically the point at which someone reaches out, connects with you, takes an intended action. In our case, usually it's fill out a form, start a chat, give us your email, or give us a phone call. Now, you can track all this in Google Analytics. So if you use a tool like Drift, it'll pull that data into your Google Analytics if you've configured it properly. It's not too hard. There is documentation, and Drift should help you with that if you need it. I'm sure other chat programs do the same. If you're going to be spending money, especially any kind of meaningful amount of money, you want to use a call tracking tool because, frankly, your ad specialists need to know which ads are getting the most calls. They need to know which ads are getting the most leads. So not having the call data is kind of like missing a big part.
Yeah. I think that's an important piece to mention because I remember when I had my Chicago space, and we don't actually do it now. I should ask about that. I remember the guy I was working with in Chicago was insistent on the calling tracking. And I was just like, nobody's going to call. Like and I was really resistant to it. And I think it's important because people do call. We can see that even from our Google My Business listing. Like it tells you how many people actually, you know, call your number from the listing. People still use the phone. And right, why invest in something if you can't capture, because the conversions to a phone call could be a big deal. And if you're missing those, you're just missing a huge chunk of the ROI of your activity. So it feels like one more thing to spend money on and to have to deal with, but you should do it.
Yeah. I mean, it starts at $30 a month, more or less, and for a number of, 100 minutes or something. So you're crazy kind of not to. You could find out that no one calls, in which case your phone number is probably not prominent enough. Maybe you should put the phone number, clearly on all devices. Other things to consider is making sure your mobile experience is very good as well. And, we won't even get into that. I'll assume that all those things affect mobile as well, because people do come in through those mobile channels. They do click the call, especially when they're on their phone. They'll click that phone number. It's easy to talk to someone right away. So call tracking is a really important thing because remember, you want your account to be optimized. You only want to spend money in places where people are converting. And the only way you know where they're converting is if you get your analytics and your conversion points really set up right. So your call tracking is one. The other one is obviously those contact forms. So when someone fills out a contact form, we can tell through Google Analytics if they came from a Google ad. So we want to make sure those conversion points are measured. The third thing would be if you have places for people to register, like, you can a virtual mail plan, a virtual, sign up or a meeting room space, or even a co-working or, dedicated desk space where they can sign up right on the website. You definitely want to be tracking the results of that. It's not a perfect science, but because sometimes people will come in through an ad and then come back later and from their different device and then buy from you, but it gives you a good indication. So your phone number, your contact forms, your registration links, your book of tours. So anytime someone books a tour, they should go to a thank you page. You should be able to measure and track in your Google Analytics. And those are the big ones. And actually, if you use Drift, for example, it'll tell you how many people started a conversation, so clicked and typed something in, and then how many people actually gave you their email address as well. So you can kind of see the conversion on that. And tools like Drift tell you how long it takes to respond and how long those chats have taken. So all these conversion data becomes really, really important as time goes on. And then you give that back to your Google Ads team, and they make those decisions in terms of how they're going to nuance the spend of your budget.
Got it. And I may need to have my developer make sure those conversion points are all set up and feeding into analytics, right? That's not an automatic thing that happens.
It's certainly not. You want to make sure you get that right. Although your ads, it's less your developer, and often your ad specialist should know how to do that for you, or at least instruct your developer to do it for you. Oftentimes developers are very good at their skill, but setting up Google Analytics goals are not always their main priority.
You got to know. Awesome. Okay. I feel like we should wrap it here to avoid overwhelm. I think this has been an awesome deep dive into Google Ads, and I think we could go on to lots of other topics. So I might have to offline talk you into coming back. So thank you for sharing your expertise and your experience with IQ Office Suites. So you have a co-working specific newsletter. Do you call it a newsletter? What do you call it?
I call it a mailing list. Yeah, it's mailing list. Kind of a blog. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not super newslettery. I like the format a lot. It's like digestible, kind of quick, good insights. If somebody wants to subscribe and get more Kevin content, where can they do that?
So I've been kind of working on everspaces.com for the past couple of years, just kind of putting my thoughts into the world, building up a little bit of an email list right now. So if you go to everspaces.com, you can sign up right on the homepage. And if you reply to the welcome email and tell me that you heard me on this podcast, then I'll give you kind of a quick video walkthrough of your website and kind of give you a few tips on how to maybe improve your conversions if you want to do that. So you can take me up on that offer over at everspaces.com. Yeah.
Love it. Okay. And we'll put that link in the show notes also, which will be at everythingcoworking.com. So you'll see Kevin's face on the podcast page though, and you can find it. So we'll link it up there if you missed it, everspaces.com. Thank you for that offer. That sounds super compelling. Good. Well, thank you for your time again. Really appreciate it. And hopefully we'll have you back to share more.
Great to be here. Thanks so much for having me, Jamie.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.